You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Hard to believe, week 15 is almost over. That means the fantasy football playoff semifinals are done for most of you. Some of you, it's the quarterfinals, and we still have a couple weeks to go here. It was rough here, but we got to do the takeaways. And with this show, we'll look at as we do Roundup Monday here, as looking not just at what happened in these games, but what happened a little bit in the future as well, to learn some lessons here for fantasy football going forward beyond the end of 2018, some things that we're going to keep an eye on with these teams and results in 2019 as well. So we're going to do that for sure. We got the one Thursday game, two Saturday games, a lot of games to get to. And later in the show, we'll bring in Tom Kesnick of High Stakes Fantasy. We'll talk about four of the surprising results, and there were a lot of twists and turns and things that we did not expect from some players that we haven't relied upon all year, and some players that have been Mr. Reliables that didn't show up here in the most critical week. So we got a lot to talk about here for sure. So let's dive right into it. Let's go back to Thursday night, the marquee game between the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Chiefs blow this lead here late. The Chargers score 15 points, including going for two in the title. This is one of the disappointing games for Patrick Mahomes. You've been riding him, and he's had monster games. Still solid here, 243-2. But he was denied the rushing touchdown that he would have made it a great day for him. And that went to Damien Williams and the plunge. And Damien Williams just basically took over in Kareem Huntville here with the 16 touches there for 123 yards, a pair of scores. Darrell Williams looked good as his backup, also scored with 32 yards here. That kind of hurt the passing game because they were able to run the ball pretty effectively and throw the ball to the backs effectively. So Travis Kelce only 7 for 61. Tyreek Hill only 4 for 46. He had Patrick Mahomes had to get creative with his touchdowns here as they went to DeMarcus Robinson and Darrell Williams. So disappointment, I'll say, because you don't have Kareem Hunt, period, on this team anymore. Damien Williams, at least if you were smart handcuffing behind Spencer Ware, you were happy there. So keep in mind that Williams and Ware are free agents next year, so completely different back could lead this team. You look at Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. It was a tough game, and these Chargers are really good with Derwin James and their cornerbacks, and that was a result of this. And this is what I thought we would see more of in week one when the Chiefs kind of obliterated them, but they made Tyreek Hill the focus here after he blew them apart, and they really took him out well, and Kelce was contained as well. So good game plan there. Tough for the Chiefs at home to not see both of those guys come through. On the other side, Phillip Rivers, steady as they go, 313 yards. He did have the two picks, but two TDs. That's kind of his strong baseline every time. Mike Williams, what can you say? Once Keenan Allen went down, he looked like Keenan Allen. Caught everything, 7 for 76 on 9 targets with 2 TDs. Ran in one where he was untouched, 19 yards. Justin Jackson looked solid there, replacing Melvin Gordon, and no Austin Eckler. 16 for 58, only 3.6 average, but also had 27 receiving yards and a score here. Detrez Newsome cut in a little bit to his work here with a solid 8 for 53, but again, the Chiefs, this is good news for Chris Carson next week. The running game really worked well for the Chargers, even though they were down. This, I think, it also bodes well for Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin to do some damage against the Chiefs. So Chiefs defense looking bad again all of a sudden, and this is what you're getting. The next game that we look at goes to Saturday, and it's the Texans beating the Jets. And we thought this could be a rebound game for DeAndre Hopkins, and boy, was it. 10 catches, 170 yards, 2 TDs on 11 targets. The Jets simply could not cover him. So when he's dominating like that, there's not much reason to do anything else. The Jets really bottled up the running game. Lamar Miller only had 3 carries for 8 yards, was kind of disappearing from the second half. And Alfred Blue, 9 carries for 6 yards. So they absolutely could not run the ball. Only Deshaun Watson could with 4 for 26. He had a solid game with those rushing yards, 294 and 2. Was sacked 6 times. So the old offensive line woes showed up in this game. But Nuka, you weren't really trusting too much other than Lamar Miller. That was a buzzkill. But Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, that's real. They're going to come through. And Hopkins was one of those studs that you drafted early that really delivered this week. Now, on the other side of things, for the Jets, Elijah McGuire, this tells you never ignore a running back that comes off and is available. He looked not great, 18 carries for 42 yards, but did get in the end zone, 3 catches for 29. Trenton Cannon didn't look good either, but McGuire clearly is the workhorse with Isaiah Crowell put on IR with that foot injury. And he's good, but in a disappointing matchup, if he's going to be the guy that gets the ball at the goal line with volume, that makes the running back valuable, and that's what we saw with McGuire. And Robbie Anderson, the connection with Sam Darnold, we thought that was great with Josh McCown last year. I think it's better with Darnold because they use him all over the field. 7 for 96 on 11 targets and a TD. By far the number one trusted receiver. Chris Herndon, we thought it could be a decent game for him. 3 for 53 at tight end. So Anderson and Herndon certainly are the guys there that Darnold is getting involved. And Anderson, going forward, I like him as a wide receiver 3 next year with Darnold looking good, 253 and 2. So Darnold could have a little bit of value if they can get one more receiver there and a little bit better offensive line. Darnold could be a nice sleeper in fantasy for the Jets here, no matter where they go offensively with their coordinator in 2019. We know that Baker Mayfield is going to be a QB1 target in many drafts next year. 188 yards only against the Broncos, had an interception, lost fumble, wasn't the greatest game, but had 2 TDs still, so went back to putting up 2 TDs. Antonio Callaway had the late one, Breshad Perriman, the early one. What you're seeing from him is just the distribution. If Jarvis Landry's bottled up like he was in this one, 3 for 37, and Rashard Higgins and David Njoku are not getting open, or Duke Johnson's not involved, he's not going to mind just going and throwing spring around like a veteran, and that's what we're going to see. Let's hope the Browns, however, still go after a wide receiver in the draft that's a go-to outside big, strong guy, because and to maybe stand out over these Callaway, Perriman, Higgins type guys, and maybe get Njoku involved more next year as well. 20 for 100 for Nick Chubb. He did it with a late 40-yard run, but got to the 100 yards. You would have liked the touchdown, didn't come through there, but Nick Chubb, still strong year. He's going to be an RB1 locked in 2019. We know Phil Lindsay has been an RB1 in 2018, but this was his worst game at the worst time here. 18 touches for 44 yards, kind of inexplicable here after Christian McCaffrey, similar type back, went off against the Browns here. So tough situation there for Philip Lindsay and his owners. The running game was completely shut down. 20 carries, 1 for 32, while 134 from the Browns. And the passing game, just this offense didn't look good. Case Keenum was sloppy with a couple picks, no TDs. That really hurt these young receivers. Were Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton made some plays, but there was just nothing good from Case Keenum. And they got to find a better quarterback situation where I'm going to trust these young receivers. Hamilton and Sutton being the starters here probably in 2019. There, Sanders has a serious injury. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas gone. I need to see a little bit better quarterback play to trust them completely as wide receiver 3s with upside I want to draft. Now, as we flip to the Sunday games, we have the Falcons and Cardinals is the first one we'll talk about. The Falcons came through with Tevin Coleman, 11 carries, 145 yards. I don't get how they kept kind of forcing Ito Smith in this one. I get it because Ito Smith is probably the back they're going to keep. Tevin Coleman is motivated, though. He's going into free agency, 11 carries, 145 yards, including a 65-yard run, another 46-yard TD run there. He looked fantastic against his bad Cardinals run defense. They ran for 215, so everyone was on Ito, but I thought Coleman could be better, and he was. I think Ito was more about the volume, but Coleman is just the more explosive runner, and he had the explosive runs in this game that really put his yardage up there as came through. Julio Jones, 6 for 82. Touchdowns have been his forte here in the second half, late down the stretch, and you'll take it. I mean, again, week when a lot of elite players were struggling. Julio Jones comes through again with a strong game for your team. So overall, the Falcons, we'll see how it goes forward. But Devonta Freeman, Edo Smith are going to be back. Coleman could have a nice little spot in free agency where he goes and could be very productive for his next team. Maybe land on the Chiefs or something like that. But we'll watch that for sure. Now, on the other side of the Cardinals, David Johnson came through. It was a grind. 14 touches. He had 68 receiving yards, including a 40-yarder, 33 and a TD for him. So not bad for David Johnson. Good finish here after that miserable start. 7 for 82 for Larry Fitzgerald. So the principals, the only two guys you're trusting for the Cardinals, came through here. And Josh Rosen, again, you want to target that quarterback that's an absolute mess here. And he was. 6 sacks, 2 interceptions, including a pick 6 by Deion Jones that was tipped. So he's just a struggling young quarterback. Just find those guys. There's going to be some next year for sure. And attack them with your streaming defenses. And the Falcons were an indication of that. Defense hadn't done much all year and came through in this one. Our next game that we look at in the 1 o'clock window, not much to look at on one side. It is 23-0 here in favor of the Colts. And with this one, the Cowboys just were out of it really early. They tried to run the ball. They did effectively, but the game flow hurt. 18 for 87 for Ezekiel Elliott, 7 catches, 41 yards, kind of redeemed his day, even without the touchdown. Obviously, they didn't score. Amari Cooper, struggle of a day, 5 touches for 43 yards after that monstrous game against the Eagles. Well, Dak Prescott was a lot involved in this. He looked horrible, 206 passing yards, interception, was sacked 3 times, missed a lot of throws that were there against his Colts defense. No, not even garbage production in this one now. Shocker was Marlon Mack on the other side, 27 carries for 139 yards and 2 TDs. We didn't think he was the workhorse, but he comes through in this toughest of matchups with a monster game here that really helped a lot of people in the fantasy playoffs if you were able to trust him and overcome that matchup. And he rewarded your owners there for sure. T.Y. Hilton, 5 for 85, played through that ankle injury, which was good to see. So solid game for Hilton. Again, the Colts were in control in this game with the defense and running game. That hurt Andrew Luck because he didn't have to throw, and there were 0 touchdowns. And just a weird game overall because we thought the Cowboys were going to run more and score more that way. We thought the Colts were going to pass and do more that way. None of that came to fruition in this game. And maybe the strangest result here of Week 15. Before we bring on Tom Kestnick of High Stakes Fantasy, speaking of high stakes, if you're looking to get the best online action there in the betting marketplace for the NFL, you got to go to MyBookie. They've been in this business for years. They've got great reviews online. They've got some of the best player perks in the business. And around this holiday season, if you're looking for a little bit more interesting action, the fantasy playoffs are over and you want to play for some cash, MyBookie is the place to do it. You can take advantage of their live in-game betting, and you can also look at fantasy football player props where you bet on fantasy points scored for a player in a particular week. So all kind of games there, as well as the regular action on the games at MyBookie. And for Locked On Fantasy Football listeners, there's a special offer. You can get a deposit dollar-for-dollar match there up to $1,000. But if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25 and make your initial deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they're willing to add another $25 to that as long as you deposit at least $100 with your initial entry into MyBookie. So that's a great deal. Go on, take advantage of that now. It's a great way to enjoy all the benefits of MyBookie going forward here at the end of 2018 and for all of 2019. And you'll be hooked and you'll be staying there at MyBookie once you get locked in there. And that promo code again, LOCKEDON25, deposit after 7 p.m. Get the dollar-for-dollar match as well as that $25 extra there by doing so. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Go to MyBookie and take advantage of that deal now. When we get back, we'll talk to Tom Kestnick of High Stakes Fantasy for some of the bigger game takeaways of the week. Joining me now, as he always does here for High Stakes Takeaways on our Roundup Monday show, is Tom Kesnick of High Stakes Fantasy. How's it going, Tom? Weird week 15 I'm trying to still recover from.
Yeah, I was doing really well this weekend, and then the Sunday games happened, and it was everything's discombobulated now. I don't up is down, down is up, wrong is right. I don't nothing makes sense anymore. So I've been talking about this for a while. I've never seen a weekly a playoff week period like this before, because it's been going on now for 3 weeks where just so many top players are just killing you, and their matchups are strong. You've got to start them, and they're killing you. I've never seen, you know, a playoff period like this before. It's unbelievable.
Now, in the bizarre world that you're talking about, a perfect example of that was this Titans-Giants game. Derrick Henry won the Heisman. Saquon Barkley should have probably won the Heisman. He's been dominating all year as a rookie. Yet, you look at Derrick Henry, two monster games in a row. Now, they gave him 33 carries. He was basically their entire offense, 170 yards, and another couple scores following up the monster game last week. Where did this come from, and have you seen anything like this before?
No. It's unbelievable. You know, in the NFFC primetime contest, there's 144 teams that are in the primetime championship round trying to win $150,000. Two of those teams have Derrick Henry. Two, because he was horrible. So if you had Derrick Henry, chances are you didn't do very well, right? And he was an early round draft pick, and your team stunk probably because he was awful. But here you go. You got two teams out of 144 that now suddenly have a massive advantage because they've got an elite RB1 out of nowhere. I did like Derrick Henry this week. I thought for sure he would get a touchdown. The Giants' run defense has really been having trouble lately, but I certainly didn't expect him, you know, to go off again. But that's where we are. Derrick Henry is now the foundation piece of the Titans' offense. And if you got him, man, you got to start him in week 16. You know, it's a must right now.
Yeah, and everything else in the Titans' offense died in this game, too. It's like Deion Lewis, they just don't want to give him the ball at all. It's kind of like those early stages we saw kind of with DeMarco Murray in there and Derrick Henry himself, where they didn't really want to give him the ball.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's basically last season. Reversed. Derrick Henry's become DeMarco Murray. All we need now is for Derrick Henry to be badly injured like Murray was last year, and they still trot him out for 20, 25 touches. That was, you know, when you knew they didn't want to give the ball to Derrick Henry. But that's where we are now with him and Deion Lewis. Lewis has clearly been relegated to, you know, spot duty. He's, from a fantasy perspective, he's useless. It's Derrick Henry. And like you said, everything else in the offense, I mean, Mariota didn't do anything. Corey Davis, I mean, it's Derrick Henry, and that's pretty much it with the Tennessee offense right now.
Now, on the other side of things, the Giants, talk about a couple disappointing weeks for them. Odell Beckham Jr., that late developing injury at the quad, misses the fantasy playoffs essentially here with the two games and big opportunities, and Sterling Shepard really didn't do much with the opportunity there as the number one, and Evan Ingram kind of carried this passing game. And then Saquon Barkley, this guy's been rolling the entire year. You get to this point, he has his worst, one of his worst games of the season, obviously no touchdowns and a shutout. Is this kind of just hoping for maybe getting a little bit better quarterback play next year to correct some of these things?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that will help them. But yeah, Barkley was another victim of the playoff weirdness that we've been seeing. I mean, who saw that coming? Just a complete disaster of a game from an elite RB1. But looking ahead to the future, yeah, they need a new quarterback. There's no doubt about that. They've got to move on from Eli Manning. But, you know, improved offensive line play, a better defense so that, you know, you can run the ball more. Bark, I know he's great in the passing game, but you really want to be able to run him 20 times a game. So they've got a lot of work to do there without a doubt. But, yeah, it definitely starts with they've got to get another quarterback in there, even if it's a short-term Joe Flacco kind of thing. I mean, just something. They just can't go back to Eli Manning.
Yeah, and we'll see maybe the full potential of that offense if they get a different quarterback, either young or old, in there that can actually get the ball downfield, open things up for the running game as well. Now, looking at the next game in this window there on Sunday, that
we wanted to look at carefully because it's a new OC for the Vikings. Kevin Stefanski takes over for John DeFilippo, and we'll say the results are pretty good. They scored 41 points here. The only downside of this is I think kind of everyone was on that it was going to be a lot of Dalvin Cook and an overcorrection here, and that was the case, and a little Latavius Murray bonus action as well. But what we didn't expect is that they would totally forget about Adam Thielen in this game.
Zero targets in the entire second half. Now, obviously, they didn't need to throw it a ton. Cousins only threw 21 times. They built a big lead and then just hung on, and Cook was fantastic. And you're right, that was the matchup. The Miami run defense is really, really bad, and so Cook took advantage of it. But, again, I don't know how, even in a game like this, Adam Thielen doesn't get a single target for an entire half. That just, again, that's where we are now. He had been the number one wide receiver in fantasy football for 3 months, and now we're at a point where you get to week 16, and the matchup is really good for him because they'll play the Lions, whose run defense has been much better since they traded for Snacks Harrison. You figure Darius Slay shadows Stephon Diggs. And so it all sets up for Adam Thielen, but you get to week 16, like, do you trust him? I mean, who knows anymore? You got the number one wide receiver in fantasy football, and if you're playing in week 16, no idea if you can play him. That's how crazy this is.
Yeah, and I think Dalvin Cook, I mean, his emergence and his touches are going to hurt because they see Latavius Murray as the complimentary power back. They see Dalvin Cook as do everything here. And Stephon Diggs is their number one kind of receiver outside. So I think Cook is probably going to be maybe a big-time championship playoff winner for a lot of teams. They said that they're going to keep riding this guy into the next game against the Lions, which is also good because the Lions didn't look good against the Bills replacement committee. So maybe it's still Cook. They're going to not messing with this the rest of the way.
Well, that's what they want to do, and it's what they need to do. Dalvin Cook needs to be their foundation piece. He is supremely talented. But, again, the matchup next week does not favor a strong running game. Detroit's run defense has been much, much better since they traded for Harrison. So you would think in this game that Cousins will have to throw the ball more. And if Darius Slay is shadowing Stephon Diggs, which is what you would expect, that leaves the prime matchup in the slot with Adam Thielen. But, you know, I honestly, Vinny, I don't know how to project probably a dozen to 20 top players right now because it's been incredibly bizarre. I mean, I don't know what to do. What do you do with Adam Thielen? I don't know what to do with him. I can tell you the matchup's really good. I can tell you he's been great for most of the season. But then you go to the last few weeks and you're like, I just don't know what to do with the guy.
Yeah, and it's hard because these teams kind of can change identities from week to week. And we're pass heavy, run heavy. And that's a really troubling thing to kind of read into fantasy. At least I think with the Ravens, we kind of have an idea what they're doing now. With Lamar Jackson, it's just running, and a lot of Gus Edwards and a little bit of Kenneth Dixon. That's what you're going to get, I think, throughout this whole run here with him locked in as the starting quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, even that was a little odd because everything was pointing toward a Kenneth Dixon emergence with Edwards trending down. So, of course, Edwards goes for over 100 yards and scores yesterday, and Dixon is the bit player. So, again, even that was odd, but you're right. That is who they are. They are a run-first team without question. They're going to run it heavily with Lamar Jackson and the running backs. They don't want to have him throwing it a lot. It's going to be very interesting to see how this works out next week at Los Angeles if the Chargers are able to put points up. It does kind of look like the Chargers get Melvin Gordon back. Maybe they get Keenan Allen healthy. So even against the Baltimore defense, you would think the Chargers are going to put up points. So this is going to be a big test, I think, for Lamar Jackson. Can he keep his team in a game as a passer? Because I think that's what he's going to have to do if they're going to be able to spring an upset against the Chargers.
Yeah, it's been frustrating to see their wide receivers. You've had some sporadic production. I think a couple weeks ago, Michael Crabtree had a touchdown. You had John Brown had the touchdown last week. Willie Snead did most of the damage in the limited passing game this week or for the Ravens. But it seems like it's pretty much Lamar Jackson, the tight ends, or what he trusts most in the passing game. And maybe you can reach there a little bit with the Chargers. I'm not 100% sure I like any of those matchups in the secondary for the Ravens.
No, I don't like any of the receivers with Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, to be honest with you. I mean, it hasn't been there. What they are is a running team. So you would look at Gus Edwards, because I think you can definitely run on the Chargers. There's no doubt about that. So you look at Gus Edwards, maybe Kenneth Dixon if you're feeling really gutsy, but I think the bloom's kind of off that rose. So Baltimore, it's Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards. Those are really the two viable starters as we go into Week 16.
Now, the Buccaneers are a weird team to me because they looked okay on offense early against the Saints. They looked pretty good early against the Ravens, and then things kind of disappear. But the one thing I'm taking away is that Jameis Winston, through all this, he's probably going to be their starter next year. And he can do some things here. I mean, he's really cut down in the interceptions. I don't know if that's hurt his production as much, though, maybe because they've reined him in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. There's no doubt about that. That was a bizarre game, too, because Baltimore's run defense is typically pretty good. And so what happens, we see Peyton Barber go for 80-plus and a touch. And it was bizarre. But, yes, this is a team that wants to throw the football with those with Winston and those good wide receivers, Cameron Brate, and, of course, O.J. Howard when he's healthy. That's the strength of their offense. So I do think Winston will be their starter going forward. But, yeah, when you look at if you go to Week 16 and for some reason he's a guy – you know, Jameis Winston probably isn't somebody I'd want to be trotting out there in Week 16.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because he was throwing the interceptions, but he was throwing a ton of yards and touchdowns, and now we're not getting the ton of yards and touchdowns as he's kind of been a little bit more conservative, and I think that showed with getting Barber so heavily involved in that game as well. So we'll see about him in the future, but looks like Barber's probably going to keep that job here going forward. I mean, he's come through in a lot of spots this season, pretty underrated as an RB2.
Yeah, and Ronald Jones has been a massive disappointment for them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, yeah, Peyton Barber, there's nothing exciting or sexy about Peyton Barber, but he is a solid NFL running back, and he's a guy that I think you can win with if the rest of the pieces are there offensively. And there's no question they've got great, you know, talent at the skill position. So I think you're right about Winston being more conservative. And that's what he needs to do that, right? I mean, at his worst, he throws interceptions all over the place. So you want to rein him in and not have him take so many chances. So it's probably not conducive to fantasy success, but maybe it's conducive to Jameis Winston having a productive NFL career.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that going forward. They're definitely very talented around the quarterback with Adam Humphries. We'll see if they re-sign him. I assume they would with Chris Godwin and Evans. I think his future is bright beyond this year. Now, we look at the game that probably disappointed fantasy owners the most, unless you had that dominant tight end we all knew that was in this game, but it was Jalen Samuels. If you were able to play him a tight end, looking at how Zach Ertz disappointed, some of the other guys disappointed this week, including Gronkowski on the other side, who completely disappeared from the game plan. How do you explain this one? It was pretty much Jalen Samuels and a little bit of Antonio Brown and not much else.
Yeah, I mean, again, here you go. You know, how do you not start Juju Smith-Schuster in a matchup where Antonio Brown is going to see heavy coverage? And, of course, Juju disappointed yesterday. Gronk disappointed yesterday. Josh Gordon disappointed yesterday. Brady disappointed yesterday. So, yeah, a bizarro game for sure. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Jalen Samuels. He has certainly looked good. He looked very good yesterday. But if James Conner comes back in Week 16, you would think James Conner will be the guy. And we know the Steelers aren't a committee backfield. They are a one running back backfield. That's been the case with Jalen Samuels. It will be the case with James Conner if he's healthy. So maybe Jalen Samuels gets you to Week 16, but you may have to look elsewhere if James Conner is healthy.
Now, I thought the game plan by the Patriots, and this is maybe the second straight week, where I thought they were going to be running like nuts against the Dolphins the way the Vikings did there, but then they threw it, and they threw it successfully. So you had a lot of confidence going into this game because Josh Gordon and Rob Gronkowski, they've destroyed the Steelers in any form. Then I see out there Joe Hayden is a lot on Julian Edelman in this game, yet Tom Brady forces the ball to Joe Hayden a lot with Edelman down there and gets that bad interception. Now, was it just a case of Brady being off and making the wrong mistakes at the wrong times, or was it just the Patriots may have lost a little bit here the way they're calling games with Josh McDaniels?
They have. I mean, think about this. 3 weeks ago, and this is when the madness started, 3 weeks ago. The Chiefs and Patriots were the top two teams in the AFC. We could be looking at a situation when the season is over where the Chargers and Texans are the top two teams in the AFC. That's how discombobulated the world has become that we now live in. But here's what I'll say about Tom Brady. As great as he is, and he's great, obviously, he has a history of fading for fantasy in December. It happened last season. He should not have been the MVP last year. He was not good in December. Todd Gurley was fantastic, if you recall. Now you look to this year, he's played three games in December so far. In two of them, he's thrown one touchdown pass. Last week against Miami, he was brilliant. But the other two games, he was not. And he made a lot of bad decisions. And I think you've got a guy who just doesn't play as well in December. Now he gets to January, he's amazing. So, you know, but that doesn't do you a lot of good in most leagues, right? So I think there is some concern here. You've got one guy in the passing game who you can consistently start every week, and that's Julian Edelman. I mean, he got off to a slow start yesterday, but he ended up having another solid day. So you don't worry about him. Gronk has been a disaster the whole year. James White has faded from view. Josh Gordon has been pretty much ordinary. I mean, certainly nothing great. They miss Brandon Cooks in a big way, without a doubt. So they've got problems on offense right now. They really do. I don't know if they have an identity. Last year at this time, Deion Lewis became their identity, and everything fed off of how great he was. Right now, they don't have that catalyst. They don't have someone that they can feed off of, and they're kind of putting themselves in a position where they're just trying to make Brady be great all the time, and it's not working.
Yeah, and it's just strange to me how they kind of used Josh Gordon, because he had that nice play, 19 yards early in the game, then I think he had a drop, and then Bill Belichick at the end was like, why wasn't he on that 4th and 15th play? And his answer was because Cordarrelle Patterson was in. So yeah. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're getting too cute offensively, using too many people. I think last year, you're right, they kind of simplified. It was Deion Lewis, just give him the ball. We know this works. Let's not try to get too crazy. But now they're forcing in other things, and they kind of got lucky on the Chris Hogan touchdown as well.
Yeah, that was, you know, blown coverage without a doubt. So that was a big, big break. You know, but again, they were right there. You know, they had an opportunity late in the game, but I think then Brady, he missed a wide open Edelman in the end zone and threw into triple coverage to try to get to Gronk. You know, he had the bad pick to Joe Hayden that was just inexcusable. So, yeah, some bad decisions, but they were right there. You know, I mean, it's not like they're getting blown out. They're, you know, they certainly should have won last week against Miami were it not for that fluky play, and they were right in a position yesterday to win. So, they're not far removed, but they're not clicking on all cylinders, without question.
Now, would it be okay this time if Josh McDaniels finally leaves and takes another job? Maybe that's something they need to spark this offense a little bit.
Well, he took a job last year. Then he decided. So I think, you know, it's up to Josh McDaniels to figure out what he wants to do. So maybe that is what they need. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see if that develops. The Colts are probably happy. They don't have Josh McDaniels. And
Colts are very happy with Frank Reich.
Yeah, that's for sure. So there you have it. There's some takeaways from those four of the many surprising results here in Week 15. Tom, what's going on there? I know there's a big contest that I know the playoffs could be over for many, but there's still a lot of fantasy football to be played here.
Yeah, we've got a great postseason contest that you can sign up for. It's a $200 entry. It's a multiplier contest. Excuse me. That means every player that you have in week one, you get double their points in week two, triple in week three, and so on. It's a great contest. Have a lot of fun. So if you're having a rough go of it in the postseason, in the playoffs right now, or you're doing great and you want to make even more money, just head on over to playnffc.com and you can sign up for our postseason contest. It's live now, so you can sign up. Obviously, all the players aren't in there yet because we don't know who the playoff team is going to be, but you can take a look at it and see how it's all going to function and set your lineup and all that good stuff. So playnffc.com, postseason contest. I guarantee you'll have a lot of fun.
All right, Tom, thanks again this week. We'll be skipping next week because I think it's an important day. It's Christmas Eve, so we'll let everyone enjoy that day with their families and getting ready for the big holiday stretch there. And Tom, happy holidays. Merry Christmas and a happy new year in advance here. But thanks again for all your insight this season.
All right, my pleasure, Vinny. Had a great time doing it. I hope everybody enjoys the rest of Week 15, and good luck in Week 16, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody.
Thanks again to Tom for joining us, and you can follow him on Twitter there, at Tom Kesting. You can follow me at Vinny Iyer, and on Facebook, Vinny Iyer as well, and we're all over the place there, Locked On NFL Network. We've got our Locked On podcasts all over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, social media. That's we're connecting with you, and we want you to be here locked into us every way you can, and however you get your podcasts. We're here for you all year round with our great shows, whether it's fantasy, NFL, NBA, MLB, college sports. The Locked On Network is for you, and we're bringing it on. We're very happy that you've been part of our family this year, and again, can't say enough that we wish you so much good fortune here during these holidays and for the new year, and hope you keep listening, and we'll keep bringing you the best content out there. We'll be right back, and I'll break down the rest of the games here from Week 15 Sunday action. So let's finish with a look at the rest of the games that we haven't gotten to, either with myself or Tom, and we'll go to the Bills-Lions game, and the Bills come through in this one 14-13. The story here was no LeSean McCoy, no Chris Ivory, two surprise scratches. Marcus Murphy looked okay early, but then he got hurt. Keith Ford had to carry the load, 14 for 46. Murphy was 11-35 before he exited, but Josh Allen, it became the Josh Allen show, and weird guys being involved. We thought Zay Jones would get Darius Slay and get shut down. That's what happened. Robert Foster was a nice sleeper here. He came through 4 for 108, caught 4 or 5 targets as a deep ball threat for Allen and a TD. So Allen wants to run the ball and throw deep. That's what we saw in this game. He only had 16 yards rushing, but gets a TD there. Gets that TD as well to Foster through the air on that deep shot for 204. So solid game again for Allen if you used him here, with that combined yardage. And you thought you'd see a little bit more of Isaiah McKenzie in the receiving game. We did 6 for 53. But Foster really looking like a real deal deep threat for this team, kind of like the Robbie Anderson, Sam Darnold connection. The Foster-Allen connection is really real. And looking forward to see what Foster can do next year. I think they just need to get complimentary guys to him. But he's a legitimate deep threat and showing a lot of ability there coming out of Alabama as an undrafted free agent. Now, on the other side, Lions, Theo Riddick was the leading rusher, but Zach Zenner again got the touchdown, 10 for 45 in TD. Riddick looked good, but it was just limited to 10 touches, 56. That's kind of been the standard. It was good to see Kenny Golladay get back on track along with Matthew Stafford, 7 for 146. Matthew Stafford still not relevant in fantasy with 208 and a touchdown, only one touchdown there. So ugly performance. I don't know if it's going to get much better against the Vikings, but you look at Kenny Golladay. Tre'Davious White has not been as dominant as he was last year. 7 for 146 on 8 targets. So it's basically the running back committee and the Golladay show and not much else there for the Lions to close it. So we need Marvin Jones back. I think Golladay is going to have more of a wide receiver one borderline type season, assuming Jones is back and healthy next year. The next game we look at is the Bears and Packers, and this was a get-well game for Mr. Trubisky. Still not massive, but he was very efficient, 235 and 2 for Trubisky, 16 yards rushing. So solid game, not spectacular. Another good game for Jordan Howard. If you stuck the course with him, 20 touches, 75 yards, and a TD. Tarik Cohen also came through, 10 touches, 52 yards, and a TD. So they're using these two backs very well. What it's doing is really hurting into the rest of the receiving core. Anthony Miller's just faded from memory here. Taylor Gabriel, 3 for 33. Allen Robinson, 3 for 54. Adam Shaheen cutting into Trey Burton's time. At least Burton got into the end zone with that other touchdown for the Bears. But Bears have really overcorrected to Howard and Cohen, and those guys should be in your lineups every week. Now, on the other side with the Packers, Aaron Jones went down with that injury early. Jamal Williams had to pick up the slack, so that had to be frustrating to see Jamal Williams come in there, get 16 touches, 97 yards, and a TD on your bench. So really hard to look at that. You had Devontae Adams come through again, 8 catches on 13 targets, 119 yards, including a 2-point conversion there. So otherwise not great for Aaron Rodgers because he couldn't throw a legitimate touchdown, threw an interception for the first time in forever, 400-plus attempts, took 5 sacks, 274 yards. So rough, rough game for Rodgers. And we'll have to see next year with all these quarterback explosions, including Trubisky on the lower end, if Rodgers is really a must-start anymore. I mean, we've learned that with Tom Brady. We've learned that with Rodgers. Maybe we're not locked into starting one of these guys and just automatically drafting them. I think of those guys that you drafted early and you said, I'm going to go with the quarterback. Wilson was the guy that really delivered that way, Cam Newton and Drew Brees, but definitely Rodgers with his injury and Brady with his ineffectiveness. Not that. So that's something we're going to monitor going forward in the QB rankings for 2019. Now, our next game is the Bengals and Raiders. And with this one, 30-16, the Bengals win. Joe Mixon looked awesome, 129 yards and 2 TDs. Rushing, fantastic game for Mixon overall. Tyler Boyd also came through again, 4 for 38 and TD. So they've kept it simple with Boyd and Mixon. These two guys are the ones who produced all year and stayed healthy. That was the case here. So if you had Mixon, you were very happy with that result here in week 15. On the other side of things, Doug Martin, very disappointing game. 9 for 39. Expected a lot more from this rushing attack, but only 16 carries, 68 yards here. They got behind 20-7 at halftime. That didn't help the running game. And really, Derek Carr, all the good vibes. 263 yards and a TD, so not terrible, but took 5 sacks. This offense was discombobulated against a really bad defense. He also lost a fumble there, so really disappointing for the Raiders, but that kind of sums up the Raiders and why you didn't trust them all year. Our next game we go is to the Jaguars and Redskins, and let's hope they get a quarterback. This was terrible. 9 for 17, 57 yards and an interception for Kessler. He actually had more rushing yards, 68. That's pathetic. It really dragged down Leonard Fournette, who looked good, but they stopped giving the ball, got a little banged up. 14 touches only for 64 yards. That's a big disappointment after we thought Fournette was good to go. Dede Westbrook also was disappointing when you look at 4 touches for 41, but if you get credits for individuals on special teams, he scored. So he got a touchdown on the punt return here. So D.D. Westbrook did come through, not the way we expected, but you'll take it any way you can get it. On the other side, Josh Johnson didn't light it up, 151 and a TD. He also had 49 rushing, so it wasn't a terrible streamer if you plugged him in there. Adrian Peterson, 19 for 51, not much to see there. Jeremy Sprinkle, yes, that's a real player. He scored the touchdown for the Redskins, so Redskins have just become a fantasy disaster here, and you could do a lot better than streaming Josh Johnson there. And let's hope they really draft a quarterback to change the fortunes of this passing game in 2019. That would be really helpful, and we'll see if Peterson's going to come back. I think it's going to be Darius Geis and a young quarterback, and that's what we're going to see, and that can really change the course of this offense. Now it's time to flip to our two remaining games. One was in that 4 o'clock window away from the Steelers-Patriots. You had the Seahawks. Russell Wilson had his solid game, 237-2. Wasn't exciting, but he got the job done with Doug Baldwin, who played through that hip injury, 4 for 77. Both touchdowns here. So really disappointing if you had Tyler Lockett. 3 touches for 56 yards for him. Chris Carson was his usual beastly self, 28 touches, I should say, for 148 yards and a TD. So Chris Carson, Doug Baldwin, they keep it simple, get it done, but they lose the game 26-23 because were not very good on defense. Nick Mullins looked fine there, 275 yards, took 3 sacks, had a TD. The running game really did nothing here with Matt Breida, but he was back healthy, 22 touches for 96 yards. That's kind of killed Jeff Wilson. He had 46 yards rushing, but lost a fumble. So if you started Jeff Wilson, hoping that Breida was not going to be active, you did not get that return at all because Breida just popped in and started playing. George Kittle, he had a big game, 3 for 51, but 2 for 61, and the long TD went to Garrett Celek. So here reared his ugly head again to take production away from Kittle. Dante Pettis was solid if you use him as wide receiver 3, 5 for 83, but pretty much disappointing when you look at Jeff Wilson and Kittle and what you thought, and then Breida playing and Selleck playing a bigger role kind of changed that up going forward. But bottom line, this 49ers offense with Jimmy Garoppolo back, with Pettis starting to look good here, with Kittle locked in, with Breida and maybe another back joining him, whether it's Jerick McKinnon coming back healthy or some other option in free agency, this 49ers offense can be fantastic when they have their top-level players next year. And looking forward to that because they're still getting the job done here. Back-to-back upsets here at home against the Broncos and Seahawks. Kyle Shanahan's a great offensive coach, and I want a lot of players involved with him next year, including Garoppolo, who's going to be a very good value, I think, in fantasy next year in your draft. And finally, we'll have to talk about the weirdness that was the Sunday night football game. The Eagles were massive double-digit underdogs in this game with Nick Foles. What do? They go in and win the game. Nick Foles didn't look great, let's be honest. He had 270 yards, an interception, no TDs. He facilitated the running game, which they did. He did look good throwing to Alshon Jeffrey. He had caught 8 for 160, caught all of his targets there. So we know that Foles pretty much trusts Jeffrey a lot. Zach Ertz, the Rams made it to point, take out. They're just taking away Ertz first, and that's opening things up for Jeffrey. 3 for 22 only for Ertz, so disappointing for a stud all season. You have Wendell Smallwood coming out of nowhere for 10 carries for 48 yards and two TDs. Corey Clement, we know, is hurt, but we didn't expect Smallwood to look that good. And Josh Adams looked bad, 15 for 28. He did redeem himself with a short touchdown. But Smallwood's big game came out of nowhere, especially when Darren Sproles was more involved, and he only had 6 touches for 46 there. So this Eagles team is going to maybe go back to basics, run a lot of Jeffrey, keep things simple. I think Ertz will rebound here. In tough game against the Texans, but the Texans can give up damage to tight end. So Jeffrey and Ertz and Foles, these guys could have a little bit more success next week as the rushing attack slows down. And now on the other side with the Rams, Todd Gurley did come through here. 12 carries for 48 yards, only 2 TDs. Was banged up, had to leave with a knee injury for a while, but 10 receptions for 76. So made his day fantastic here overall. Robert Woods was pretty decent as well. 8 touches for 93 yards. Brandon Cooks, however, 6 for 59, a little disappointing there. This whole offense disappointing, losing 30-23 here. Jared Goff has just been disastrous. 54 attempts, 339 yards, but 0 TDs, took 2 interceptions. That Josh Reynolds play, who went 5 for 70 on 12 targets, a decent game, fell short of the goal line, really hurt there anything that Goff could redeem in this game. So really rough outing for Goff, number 3 in a row for him. So really hard to trust next week there. I know the matchup is a little easier, but I'm not looking at Goff. I think they're going to finish strong with the running game in Los Angeles. And Gurley locked in. I think he's going to be the conversation again. And for the number 1 overall pick, I still think he would be the guy for me over Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and others, just because he's so fundamental to what this offense wants to do. So there you have it. There's a look at the games here of Week 15 going into Monday Night Football. We'll talk about that game as well as our weekly waiver wire here with Eric at home for one last time here in 2018. That'll be our show on Tuesday. Thanks a lot for listening to this show on Monday, and good luck in your games if there's a lot to be decided on Saints-Panthers. And we'll come back with you for some final week advice there to help your waivers. And regular week this week, we'll have a matchup focused there with Jeff Ratcliffe on Wednesday to break down all the Week 16 games. And then lineup focus, the DFS spin show there with Tyler Lochner on Thursdays. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.